Welcome, everyone, to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. We have been on a series called Unbreakable Strength Under Pressure. And so our theme scripture is Nehemiah 8:10. It says, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." Amen? In every area of life, whatever area we need strength in, He's our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And so we might need financial strength, we might need physical strength, we might need some mental strength, we might need some strength. Whatever area it might be, the joy of the Lord is our strength. It will impact and it will strengthen us in every area because the Lord is our strength. He's our source. Amen? Psalms 118, 24 and 21, verses 24 and 21. Psalm 118 says this, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." And then from this, we see that this is a choice. This is an action choice because we found out that to enjoy newness of life and to take new territory in our life requires three things. Number one, it requires God. Number two, it requires His direction. And number three, it requires action. And so this is one of these actions that we've been talking about. This is rejoicing and being glad. The spirit of faith rejoices and is glad. Rejoicing and praise are faith's secret weapons to live unbreakable and possess strength under pressure. Amen. Hallelujah. We found out the word rejoice means to jump for joy, to be joyful, and to triumph. We talked about the praise cure. And the praise cure is something that's available to everyone. And it doesn't cost anything. And you don't have to sit in a waiting room to experience and tap into it, right? The praise cure is available to us all, and we can enjoy the results of it. It works for everyone all the time. Again, we talked about last week, and then we talked about some expressions of joy. And we didn't get into all expressions, but we talked about three expressions of joy. And we saw, first of all, once again, Psalm 118 says, "I will rejoice and be glad." The word rejoice means to spin or jump around for joy, to be joyful and to triumph or to win. And to be glad means to be gleeful, merry-hearted, joyful, rejoicing, to brighten up and cheer up. So that means we might find ourselves in a situation and circumstance where we need to cheer up. We might have lost some cheer. We might have lost some brightness, right? And so we get the opportunity. It becomes a choice for us to brighten up and to cheer up. Be glad and rejoice. Amen? And so the first expression we talked about was the expression of shouting. And we talked about and made reference to what we'd already talked about. For the last few months, we've been talking about Luke chapter 18, verse 7, talking about the shout of faith and praise and how the shout of faith and praise brought vindication or caused our avenger, right, our God, to avenge us, to protect us, to defend us, and to bring justice or cause justice in our life. And the word justice means to set right, put right, and make right. Hallelujah. God is our avenger. Jesus is our avenger. Hallelujah. And Jesus said this. He said, that talking about God, He said, He will avenge His children speedily. Amen? Hallelujah. He's our avenger. And so it comes how? By the shout of faith and praise. So the shout of faith and praise brought the walls down in Jericho. Right? We talked about that. Remember that. The walls fell down. Why? Because they shouted. The shout of faith and praise brought the walls down. And then we talked about Gideon. And Gideon, and remember the 300 guys, and they sort of separated themselves into three companies of 100, and then they surrounded the enemy's camp, and one of the things that they did was shout. And the shout of faith brought deliverance from the enemy and victory in their lives. And then we talked about laughter, how God laughs. He laughs at the enemy, and He laughs just because he's fun. He's amazing. And so there is a laugh of faith just like there is a shout of faith, right? We may not always feel like shouting, but sometimes we just shout because we need the walls down. Sometimes we just need to laugh, not because we feel like laughing, but because we actually need to tap into the joy of the Lord. We need that laughter. We need to just laugh at the devil. We need to laugh because God is good to us and taking care of us, and we believe it. Whether it might not look like it, but we believe that He is, so we laugh. Amen? Laugh. Laughter is an expression of joy and gladness. And then we talked about being filled with the Spirit. Jesus said this in John chapter 7, "Come to me and drink." Talking about the Holy Spirit, come to me and drink. He didn't say come to me and think. There's nothing wrong with thinking, but if we get too involved in the thinking part, when God tells us to do something, a lot of times we're not going to. I remember when I was pastoring in Sarnia, one of the gentlemen in the church came up to me one Sunday. We had kind of like a Holy Ghost service, and we were running around and shouting and rejoicing, and at the end of the service, he came up to me and said, "Pastor Jeff," he said, "it was everything I could do to stop from running this morning." And so, on the one hand, I smiled because he was very reserved and very analytical, and he just was not overly emotional. So for him to recognize the Spirit of God wanting him to run was exciting to me. The next thing was, next time, don't do everything you can to not, just yield. Right? Just yield. Just yield. Just run. Right? Just shout. Just laugh. So it's important, though, that we recognize the Spirit of God moving on us. But the next step is then just to respond. Yield. Yield to the Holy Ghost. And go ahead and do it. And I remember in one service we were at, I was ready to just to jump up and dance. But it was kind of in the service, and so it would have been an interruption. And one of the things we need to understand is the Holy Ghost doesn't interrupt the Holy Ghost, right? So I said, "Lord, if the pastor or whoever's leading the service starts to dance, I'm going to be right there. I'm ready. I'm not going to interrupt. But if you're wanting to flow in this way, have them, step out, and then I'm jumping right on in the middle of it, because I'm sensing. Because sometimes the Holy Ghost is ready to do something, and if we're sensitive, we can all kind of sense it. We can be aware. And so he started to dance, and I jumped immediately. I jumped up. I'm ready. I'm just waiting, edge of my seat, just waiting, And sure enough, it's like, whoa, okay, I jump right in there and to dance and rejoice. Hallelujah. Amen. But we don't want to interrupt what's going on, but we do want to be able to flow. We want to be aware, sensitive to flow, right? Because we can be a hindrance to the flow by not getting involved, but we can also be a hindrance to the flow by doing something out of order or out of timing, right? So it's just a learning process. And here, if someone gets out, I'm endeavoring to, in love, just make the correction and to teach and to train, okay? I'm not going to yell and scream and, throw you out the door. No, when our kids do something that's not so smart, we love them. We want to coach them and encourage them so they can make a better choice next time. It may be timing, right? So we're going to have fun. We're not here to beat anyone up. We're here to love. We're here to love and to train. We're here to help you what? Find life, enjoy life, and win in life. Glory to God. So Jesus said, "Come to me and drink." And so we found out in Ephesians chapter 5, specifically verse 18, how do we, verses 18 and 19, how do we drink? And one of the ways he said is we need to speak to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart. That's one of the ways we drink. I don't know if you've ever been drinking alcohol, but there's only one way to drink alcohol. There's only one way to get drunk, and that is to open your mouth and drink, right? Verse 18 said, "Don't be drunk with alcohol," which is extremely bad, "but be filled or drunk with the Spirit." How? Speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So we still have to open our mouth. It's the same process. We have to open up our mouth, but what do we fill our mouth with? not alcohol. We fill it up with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts. So we begin to speak the word, sing the word, declare the word, praise God for what he said. Amen. We fill our mouth with the shout of faith and praise. We fill our mouth with laughter. We fill our mouth with these things. So these are the things we talked about in regards to expressions of joy. And we finished off with Acts chapter 3, verse 18. It says, repent, so times of refreshing can come from the presence of the Lord. And the refreshing in the Amplified talks about, and the Greek word means to revive, to cool off, and to recover. In other words, on a hot day, it's nice to be cooled off. On a hot day, it's nice to have a cool drink, and that cool, refreshing drink. And on a hot day, it's nice to find some shade. Right? This is what the presence of the Lord does for us. Repent means what? Repent means to change the way you think and change the way you act. Why? So times of refreshing can come. Hallelujah. So today I want to talk about the word rejoicing. I want to talk about the word rejoicing. So Psalm 119 verse 162. Psalm 119 verses 162. Psalm 119, 162 says this, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Hallelujah. What happens? How would you act if you found a great treasure? How would you act if you found $1 million? How would you act if what you have been dreaming about and desiring in your heart came to pass? You know, how would you act? David said, listen, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Just because of time, I don't want to take too much time on this point. But this is a serious question. How would you act if you just received the dream and the desire of your heart? Amen. Amen. That's exactly it. I think you're just trying to, you know, not get. But this is not how you would act. Say, well, my personality, I'm just kind of reserved. Yeah, I understand that. But when you go to your grandkids or you go to your kids or you go to your spouse's ball game or event, that's not how you act when they get a touchdown or when they get a goal or when they... No. That is not how you act. You don't go, oh, that was a good one. Everyone else is up and shouting and I go, oh, yeah, whew, that was good. No, that's not how you act. So when the question is asked, how would you act if you actually received your dream and the desire of your heart, like literally, right now, how would you act? See, that's the response. I went to one event to pick up Audrey. She was at a women's meeting. And I came in at the end when it was over, and a couple friends were leading the meeting, and she asked the question, and the ladies were up front, and they went, and so then it was like, okay, yeah, that's not the response. So they basically just wound it down. It didn't continue. It was, I'm sitting in the back going, I'm looking at it going, that's not the response she's looking for. Because if they all would have actually literally jumped in, if they all would have began to respond with a faith response, and actually responded and did what the question was and actually did how they actually would have really responded, it would have caused the end of the service, the end of the meeting, to just take off. And it would have prepared them for the next week and so on. It would have been a blessing. But nobody responded, or it was a very reserved response. And so then it was like, okay, you know, we'll just shut down and God bless you and, you know, have a wonderful time. So, you know, the Lord, I remember we were hearing Mark Hankins talk about a pastor who's praying for finances. What are we going to do? How are we going to do this? And the Lord said, what would you do if it came in? And he goes, I would shout, I would rejoice. And then he went back on to kind of begging, and the Lord, oh God, we need the money. What would you do if it actually, you know, you just, it came, you got it. He said, I would just laugh. I would rejoice. I'd be. And then he went back to kind of begging, and the Lord asked him again, what would you do? And finally he goes, oh, do that. And not just keep begging and praying. What would you do? So do that. Rejoice. Sometimes we need to do that ahead of time. Actually, all the time we need to do that ahead of time. Right? So the world calls it a happy dance. But God calls it rejoicing. Scripture calls it rejoicing. And this is something that we do. Rejoicing affects our whole being, spirit, soul, and body. It's beyond personality because it is about being a doer of the word and a receiver of what God has for us, right? So it's beyond personality, because my personality, when I hang out with you, I like listening. I'm not a conversationalist at heart. I can make some conversation, but I like listening. And so I made a choice long time ago as a teenager that this whole rejoicing thing is not a personality thing for me. It's an obedience thing, and I choose to rejoice. So I literally step out of my personality to rejoice. Hallelujah. I step out of my personality when I praise and rejoice and glorify God. Hallelujah, because it's not a personality thing. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 Peter 1 verse 8 says this. Whom having not seen you love, talking about Jesus, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible. King James says, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy unspeakable and full of glory, verse 9, receiving the end or the fulfillment of your faith. So there are three words: believing, rejoice, and receiving. And so there's one thing that must happen between the believing and the receiving. One thing that must happen between the believing and the receiving. Well, I believe that I receive, and then there's the receiving. But what happens in the middle of the believing I receive and receiving? There is this rejoicing. It's rejoicing. And when it says rejoicing with joy unspeakable, that means it's beyond words. In other words, it's very, you can see it. It's not just, well, I'm just happy. Right? It's more than words. There is a whole lot of activity going on. Woo! Glory to God. There's this rejoicing. Hallelujah. Why? Because it affects our whole being. It must affect our whole being. And if you can't get up and jump around and dance, then at least in your chair, move something more than you move normally. You know what I'm saying? Rejoicing means to jump up and down and spin around, but what if you can't do that at the moment? Then do something more. Wiggle that foot, wave your arms, whatever it might be. Do something more. Because of the joy, you're allowing joy to rise up. Let that expression show. Huh? When you go to the game and someone gets a touchdown, everyone jumps out of their seat and they go, whoa! And they're high-fiving. There's activity going on. There's motion. You can tell they're excited. You can tell the people who are on the team that didn't get the touchdown. There is a big difference between the two. One group is sitting there. The other group is standing rejoicing. Amen? And I'll tell you what, Jesus has won the victory for us. It is worth rejoicing every single moment of our day. Amen? Hallelujah. So, this is what we do. This kind of rejoicing is joy beyond words. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Yeah? What's the word glory? It's full of glory. This kind of rejoicing is full of glory. What does that mean? What's it full of? It's full of glory. What is the word glory? The glory means this. In the Hebrew, the word glory, kabod, means this. Heavy with everything good. Riches, wealth, abundance, honor, and splendor. In other words, rejoicing with joy unspeakable, that means there's activity. It literally affects spirit, soul, and our soul is made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions. So our emotions, we get emotionally involved when we rejoice. Our mind, will, and our emotions. We choose to rejoice. We might not feel like rejoicing, and so we actually make ourselves do it. Right? And the thing about laughter, we talked about laughter last week, the thing about laughter is when we laugh, it releases stuff in our body, endorphins or something like that. It releases good stuff. A merry heart does good like medicine. It actually creates and causes healing and health and strength in our bodies. Stuff is released. Now, the interesting thing is that our body, our system, cannot differentiate between a real laugh and a fake laugh, or we could say a faith laugh. Right? It cannot tell the difference between ha, 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 ha. I don't feel like laughing, but I'm going to laugh. Ha, 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 ha. Right? Our system cannot tell the difference, so it releases the same stuff. We heard that a bishop in Detroit. Detroit. Keith Butler. The doctors told him he was having some digestive or having some issues. And the doctor said, you need to laugh 10 minutes a day or something like that. You just need to do a belly laugh, 5 minutes, 10 minutes every day. It was the doctor's recommendation. Just do that and it will cause your system to reset. And so he learned he just had to laugh. I mean, you can just laugh, just ha, 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 ha. You can get yourself, a movie or get something that you just find funny and just laugh. Just laugh. Laugh. Just tell one another jokes. Laugh. I mean, just laugh. You know what I'm saying? Laugh. But you can just do a faith laugh. You can just go ha, ha, ha. Brother Hagin, he ha, 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 ha'd for 45 minutes. And the symptoms that was, the symptoms of death that had come on him in regards to his making his heart not beat right and everything again, he could tell he was at death's door once again because he'd already been there, but he laughed. He pulled the covers over his head. He was on the road preaching somewhere, and he pulled the covers over his head because he didn't want to wake up the pastor and their wife that he was staying in their house. And he still laughed for 45 minutes. He's completely gone. Left. The devil said, why are you laughing? He said, I'm laughing at you. He says, why are you laughing at me? Because you said, I'm not going to get it. And the devil said, that's right. You're not going to get it this time. Not this time. No way. Not this time. And he began to laugh. He, ha, 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 ha. And the devil said, what are you laughing at? He says, I already told you. I'm laughing at you. Why are you laughing at me? Because you said, I'm not going to get it this time. He said, that's right, you're not going to get it this time. And Brother Hagin said, I started laughing, just laughing again. Ha, 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 ha. 45 minutes. And finally he reached over, grabbed his Bible, turned the light on, and said, in case you can't read, Mr. Devil, let me just read you. By Jesus' stripes, I was healed. He already bought it for me. Now get out of here. Off the symptoms went. But he laughed for 45 minutes. Laughed. Not because he felt like it. He just laughed. Ha, 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 ha. You do that long enough, all of a sudden it'll start to bubble up. And it'll turn from a faith laugh and it'll start to get you going. Right? You'll start to giggle and you'll get to laughing. Hallelujah. So, glory. Heavy with everything good. God is good, but everything good. Everything good. Everything good. There are things that you want. There's things that you enjoy. There's things that you desire. Good things. Not bad things, but good things. Heavy with everything good. Riches, wealth, abundance, honor, and splendor. The very splendor, the power, and the presence of God. It's all in the glory. It's all in the glory. Your healing, your health, your provision, your supply, the wisdom, ideas, concepts. I mean, it's all in the glory. It's in His presence. The power. Healing power. Delivering power. Believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's full of this glory. But see, the glory is manifested in our rejoicing. The glory is manifested in our laughing. The glory is manifested in our rejoicing. Amen? That's how we release the glory in our lives, is with this rejoicing, and then we receive. Believing, rejoicing, receiving. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 33:11. Now I'm going to read this out of a number of translations, but first of all, let's just go ahead and read it in the, I've got the New King James. Jeremiah 33 and verse 11 says this. The voice of joy, Jeremiah 33, verse 11. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of those who will say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for His mercy endures forever. And of those who will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause the captives of the land to return, as at the first, says the Lord. So, let me read it from the Amplified. I'm going to read the whole thing out of the whole verse out of the Amplified, and then the other ones I'm just going to pick up on the parts that they're using different words to help explain or express. Amplified Classic says this, there shall be heard again the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voices of those who sing as they bring sacrifices of thanksgiving into the house of the Lord. Give praise and thanks to the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for His mercy and kindness and steadfast love endure forever. For I will cause the captivity of the land to be reversed and return, to be as it was at first, says the Lord. Say reversed and return. That's called restoration, amen? So, but it happens because of the voice of joy and the voice of gladness. Now, the message says this. It says, you're going to hear laughter and celebration. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the Message translation says it this way, you'll hear laughter and celebration. Laughter and celebration. That means there's a party going on. Amen? Laughter and celebration. And what's it going to do? God said, because of that, excuse me, I will restore everything that was lost. Why? Because there was laughter and celebration. Laughter and celebration. God says, I will restore everything that was lost. I'll make everything as good as new. Say as good as new. As good as new. Why? Because there was laughter and celebration. Amen? The NIV says it this way, the sounds of joy and gladness, the sounds of joy and gladness, of those saying, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good, His love endures forever. God says, I will restore the fortunes as they were before. I will restore the fortunes as they were before. Hallelujah. Reverse, return. Restore everything that was lost. I'll make everything as good as new. I'll restore the fortunes as they were before. The N-A-B-R-E says the song of joy and the song of gladness. Hallelujah. Song. The song of joy, the song of gladness. And God says, because of that, He says, I will restore the fortunes of this land as they were in the beginning. As they were in the beginning. The voice, translation says, the sounds of laughter and joy. Singing, give thanks to the eternal commander of heavenly armies, for He is good, His faithful love endures forever. All of this will happen because I will restore the riches to what they once were. So as they were in the beginning, as they once were, as they were before, I'll make everything as good as new. Reverse and return. The GNT, the Good News Translation, says this, the shouts of gladness and joy, and because of that, He said, I will make this land as prosperous as it was before. So there's a reversal, there's a return, there's a restoration. There can be a restoration of health. There can be a restoration in family relationships. There can be, and He's talking about money, finances. Numerous ones are pulling out this. Why? Because it all has to do with being heavy with everything good. Everything good. Good. And then the Living Translation says this. He says, I will make this land. God's working. Doing what? Making it happier and more prosperous than it has ever been before. So not just as it was before, not just as good as it was before, but it's even happier and better. Amen? When God does restoration, it's better. Right? All we got to do is look at Job. God didn't just restore him. God double. Double. Isaiah says this, double. God said this through Isaiah, double for your trouble. Double. Amen? Double. When God does restoration, He does it far over and above. More than enough. Why? Because that's who He is. Amen? So, where are we going? Okay, next one. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I want to talk about reaping. Reaping. This reaping part of rejoicing. What does rejoicing have to do with reaping? So, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, finally, my brethren or family, be strong in the Lord and in the power or the authority of His might. Be strong in the Lord and the authority of His might. In other words, this verse is talking about our authority in Him. We need to be strong in the authority that He's given us. Strong in the authority. In other words, we need to be strong in exercising our God-given authority. Amen? Strong. Exercising our God-given authority. Authority is bigger than power. Right? Because a police officer can stop an 18-wheeler by holding his hand up. Not because he's strong enough to stop it, not because he has the power and the strength to stop it, but he has authority. In other words, the power that is backing him, he understands and recognizes the power that's backing him. So when he steps up, puts his hand up, they stop because they don't want to have to deal with the power that's backing him. If we learn to exercise our authority, we can shut the devil down because he's not interested in messing with the power that's backing us. Amen? He's already messed with Jesus, and every single time he lost. And the last time that he thought he had him, but the Holy Ghost said through the Apostle Paul, he said, the devil, had he known, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had he known, he would not, but he did. And it has forever doomed him and forever given us the victory. Amen? Glory to God. So we need to be strong in the Lord and the authority of his might. So rejoicing is one way to exercise our authority. Rejoicing creates a desired result. Rejoicing causes us to reap a desired result. Okay? Why? It's because rejoicing and being glad are an expression of faith. That's why rejoicing causes us to reap a desired result, because rejoicing is an expression of faith. And faith in what God has said he has already done for us in Christ. So when we find a great and precious promise, it's just time to rejoice and thank God for it. Right? So we confess and we declare and we renew our mind with it, but we ought to get excited about it at the same time. God, that's what you said? This really is a great and a precious promise. And so I declare it, I decree it, I speak it over my life, and I just get excited about it and go, woo, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Rejoice. Jump up and down, spin around. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Glory to God. So, what is faith again? Mark chapter 11. It's an expression of faith. Faith pleases God. Faith pleases God. So Mark 11, chapter 23 and 24 says this, "For assuredly I say to you that whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things that he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says." Now, one day Brother Hagin was praying, and the Lord said to him while he was kind of laying on the floor, and he said, "Did you notice in Mark 11, 23, that the word saying is in there three times, and the word believe is in there once?" And he goes, No, I didn't notice that. So he pulled out his Bible, and he began to read, and he said, "Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe." And so now he's got one and one, one and one. "But shall believe that the things which he says, number two, will be done, he'll have whatever he says." He goes, wow, look at that. Sure enough. 3 to 1, 3 to 1, 3 to 1. And the Lord said, "You're going to have to teach three times as much on the speaking part as the believing part. Because my children are believers, so they're primarily not missing it in the believing part, but they are missing it in the saying part. So you have to teach three times as much on the saying part for them to get results." And so the saying part, we will have what we say that we believe in our heart, right? "Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart," right? "But what? But believe that the things that he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says." So we have what we say that we believe in our heart. So the first Greek word translated say, it can also be translated to speak, to tell, and to command. To speak, to tell, and to command. So this is an authority word. So we're talking about exercising authority. Part of reaping is learning how to exercise our authority. And so this first word, say, is exercising our authority. Whoever will say to the mountain, whoever will command the mountain, whoever will tell the mountain, right? So it says this is exercising our authority. The second word, say, is the Greek word lego, and it means to lay forth a systematic set discourse. In other words, it means to build line upon line or to assemble, right? And that's why we got our Legos and you build and you assemble. It doesn't come put together. It's all these blocks. And you have to build it. You have to assemble it. You have to put it together step by step. And the book that comes with it is very detailed. It's very simple, It's full of color, and every little packet and bag that comes in has a step for it. You know, so if you've done with legs, your Legos, your kids have worked with Legos, your grandkids have worked with Legos, your friends' kids have worked with Legos, and you've sat there and helped them with it, you understand. They open up the box, and all of a sudden, it does not look like the front of the box. It doesn't look like the picture. And there's all these bags, but that booklet is so simple, right? You open up, step one, is you put these five pieces together. And then step two is another six pieces. And sometimes the piece from step one and step two actually go together because now they become part of what's going on in step three. And so there's this whole line upon line, there's this building process that goes on. That's what this word is about. To lay forth a systematic set discourse. Building something. So the words we're saying, first one is exercising our authority. The second one, the words we're saying, is we're actually building and creating and assembling something with what we say. So it's important that we're actually saying what we want, because we don't want to build and assemble something that we don't want, right? Because then you got to look at the person in the mirror and go, "You that was not so smart. Don't do that again," right? You got to take yourself by the ear and say, "Don't do that anymore," right? There's only one person to get on their case for. And so then the last word, the word number three, the word the say, word number three, is the same one as the first one. Okay? So the first and the third say are the same Greek word. The to speak, to tell, and to command. It's exercising our authority. And the middle word is this Lego, this building. So Mark 11:23 can be read this way, based on these three Greek words. We must believe and trust that the words we are speaking, the command we are telling the mountain, is coming to pass. It's being built and assembled, and we shall have what we are speaking, commanding, and telling. One more time. We must believe and trust that the words we are speaking, the command we are telling the mountain, is coming to pass. It's being built and assembled, and we shall have what we are speaking, commanding, and telling. All right? So that's what faith is. Saying what we believe. Romans chapter 10. Verses 6 to 13. Says, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. How does it speak? Verse 8. What does it say? It says, the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. In other words, the word is the answer. The word is our answer. And it's not far away. We don't have to go somewhere to get it. And we don't have to, you know, bring someone. We don't have to go to heaven to get the answer from Jesus. We don't have to have Jesus come from heaven. If Jesus could just come and wipe his, you know, hand on my fevered brow. I mean, no. The answer is so near to us. It's so near. How near? Verse 9. Verse 8. It's so near. What does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. The answer is so near to us. It's the word. And it's the word. Get it in your mouth. Get it in your heart. Get it in your heart. Get it in your mouth. The answer. Put the answer in your mouth. Put the answer in your heart. That's the word of God. Verse 9, if you confess with your mouth, and so now he begins to show us how this works. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It's just that simple. Take the word. Put it in your mouth. Jesus, I call you my Lord. Believe in your heart. I believe, God, that you raised him from the dead. We're saved. We become a new creature in Christ Jesus, just like that. Now, other results, there's a process of time, but faith works the same way. We take the answer, which is the word, we put it in our mouth, and we believe it in our heart. Put it in our mouth, believe it in our heart. Verse 10 says, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." So we see here then for with the heart we believe. Okay, so we believe with our heart. We don't believe with our head. We can agree with our head, but we believe with our heart. That's a big difference, because the results come from our heart or our spirit and not from our head. There's no power in our head. The power is in our spirit. It's in our heart. So, with the heart we believe unto righteousness. What does that mean? Well, being born again, we become made right. But there's more to it than that, because it's not just talking about being born again. With the heart we believe unto righteousness. What does that mean? Righteousness is a legal word. It means that we have a legal right. The word righteousness means right. It means justice. So we have legal rights. As citizens of the kingdom of God, we have legal rights. All right? And so how do we access, or how do we get the things that are, how do we access and cause these things to become legally ours? How can we lay hold of healing legally? How can we lay hold of prosperity legally? How can we lay hold of deliverance legally? How can we lay hold of joy legally? How can we lay hold of the peace of God legally? How can we lay hold of the mind of Christ legally? With the heart we believe. The moment we believe what God said, it has become our legal right. Up until that point, you know, God may have had it and given it to us, but it's not legally ours until we believe it, and then it's ours. With the heart, we believe. It makes it right, legally our right. But having it legally as our right doesn't mean we enjoy it. So how do we enjoy it? With the mouth, confession is made unto. So see, this is what gets us unto soteria, unto salvation. This gets us to the desired result. So we might believe, it makes it legally ours. But now for us to enjoy it, the enjoying it, the finally, the fulfillment, the believing I receive and receiving is over there. What do I do? Well, we talked about rejoicing. How can that be expressed? Well, with the mouth, confession is made. So we can make confession by speaking. We can make confession by singing. We can make confession by rejoicing. But we still have to start saying something, right? Speaking something, doing something. And it's this confession that brings us unto, right? One step at a time. We're getting closer. Unto. Say unto. Amen. Unto. It gets us going. It gets us there. All right. So, rejoicing and being glad are an expression of faith, and it means that we speak and declare God's word, his promises for our life, and we choose to get excited, getting our whole being involved. It doesn't have to be loud, but it usually comes out that way, especially when we're by ourselves, right? Other times, I mean, if you're sitting on the bus or you're sitting, you know, walking through the grocery store, it might be a little more controlled. Doesn't mean we don't have to be as excited. Woo, hallelujah. You just smile. What are you smiling about? You ought to know what I'm thinking about here. It's just, I'm smiling. It's exciting. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Rejoicing. Philippians chapter 4. Numerous times, the whole book is about rejoicing. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. I'm just going to quickly read through these verses. Philippians 4, 4 says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always," and again I say rejoice. Right? "Rejoice in the Lord always." Well, how often is that? Always. But it's funny, he says, rejoice always, and then he just says, and again, rejoice. I mean, just so always and rejoice. Just always, just rejoice always, and then just let do what? Do, just rejoice. Just rejoice again. Just rejoice one more time than always. Right? Always, and then just one more time. Throw it in there. You know? It's just like, it's funny. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say, let me say it again. Rejoice. All right. Chapter 1, verse 18. Chapter 1, verse 18 says, what then? Only that in every way, whether in persecution, or no, in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. So what's he talking about here? He's saying in jail, in persecution, and in negative press. He says, I rejoice, and he says it twice. I rejoice, I rejoice, I rejoice. So that's not, rejoicing is not just when everything's going well. Chapter 2, verses 16 to 18. Chapter 2, verses 16 to 18. Holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may have not run in vain or labored in vain. Yes, and I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice of service of your faith. I am glad and rejoice with you all. Verse 18, for the same reason you also be glad and rejoice with me. Three times, three verses back to back, he uses the word rejoice. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, finally, my brethren or family, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same thing to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. He says, listen, I'm bold to write it again and again, but rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Verse 3 says, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Rejoice in the anointing of Jesus, for we have no confidence in the flesh. So he says, listen, rejoicing is about who our eyes are on. Who our eyes are on. Our eyes ought to be on the anointed one. Our eyes are to be on Jesus. We're rejoicing because of Jesus, right? We don't have confidence in the flesh. So our eyes are not on people. People can let us down. People can encourage us, but people can also let us down. But God never fails. Amen. So who our eyes are on? Rejoicing is about who our eyes are on. Chapter 4, verse 10 says this, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Here he's talking about rejoicing, brought the money in. There was an offering that came to him. So rejoicing is an expression of faith, and faith is for everyone, and it is impossible to please God without it, and we are all supposed to live a life that pleases God, correct? Amen. So Psalm 67, verses 5 and 6. Psalm 67, 5 and 6. We've read these verses before. I want to just quickly read these ones. Psalm 67. Verses 5 and 6 says this, let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Let the earth, so then the earth will yield its increase. God our God shall bless us. What do we see here? Let all the people praise you, then the earth shall yield her increase. This is, we're talking about rejoicing, and we've been talking about this piece of reaping. How is reaping our harvest tied to rejoicing? Well, we see it right here. Let all the people praise you, then the earth shall yield her increase. Psalm 126, verse 5, says, those who sow in tears shall reap harvest and cut down in joy. Joy is a harvesting tool. Rejoicing is a harvesting tool. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again, or bring or cause to come to pass. How? With rejoicing. Rejoicing is a reaping tool in our lives in regards to harvesting or reaping the things that we want. Amen? The great and precious promises of God. Enjoying the harvest of God's word in our life is a product of our rejoicing. As we shout, laugh, and rejoice, God is working good on our behalf. The W.E., I think it's the Weiss translation, says this, the Lord will give you a new start and make you very glad. Hallelujah. We reap with joy. Let's close with Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54, last 5 minutes. Isaiah 54. Verses 1 to 3 says this, "Sing, O barren who have not borne, break forth into singing and cry aloud or rejoice, you who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord." This is not just talking about, he's using a natural analogy, but he's talking about supernatural increase. He's talking about being fruitful in our lives because if you read the Apostle Paul by the Spirit of God, talks about this in Galatians chapter 4 or 5, I think, and talks about how this is making reference to us, children of God. Okay? How can we become, if we've been barren, if we've not produced, if we want to produce, if we want to increase, if we want to get to receiving and not just the believing, there's going to be this rejoicing. We need to sing. We need to rejoice. Hallelujah. Verse 2. Then what? "Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes." Verse 3. "For you shall expand or break forth to the right and to the left. And your descendants shall possess or inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited." So how does this apply to us? We rejoice. Why? And part of this, part of our rejoicing, before we get to the why, part of the reason we're rejoicing and part of the result of rejoicing and what's happening while we're rejoicing is we are enlarging. We're enlarging our capacity to receive. We are stretching out the curtains. We are sparing not. We are lengthening. We're strengthening the stakes. All this, we're talking about how to be unbreakable strength under pressure. This is what we see right here. Rejoicing causes us to what? Strengthen our stakes, causing us to increase. He said, because when you rejoice, you're strengthening, and you shall break forth to the right hand on the left. You shall expand. You will inherit. Amen. Possess and inherit. We want to possess and inherit the great and precious promises. Rejoicing is a key. Amen. To reaping in our lives. Amen. Glory to God.